Welcome to episode number 2 of this Ocean Life podcast. I'm your host, Josh Peterson. This episode is brought to you by Shearwater Paddleboards, makers of handcrafted prone paddleboards and surfboards. Check them out on the web at www.shearwaterpaddleboards.com. In today's episode, we talk with Mike Dillery, a native of Santa Cruz, California, who did the unthinkable. He paddled over 25 miles across the Monterey Bay, filled his water bottles, and paddled back, close to 55 miles of paddling total, solo and with no support boat. We hear this and other paddling stories today, along with Mike's perspective on growing up at Steamer Lane during the 1980s, as Santa Cruz surfing progressed rapidly from twin fins and day-glow wetsuits into big waves and airs. I'm stoked you're all here and hope you enjoy this episode. If you like what you hear today, please give us a good rating or even better, subscribe on your podcast app. Now, let's get into the ocean life of Mike Dillery. Mike, welcome to the podcast today.
Josh, thanks for having me, man. This is exciting.
Glad to have you, man. So, Mike, you are a treasure chest of Santa Cruz surfing folklore and knowledge. After surfing here for 4 decades-ish, give or take.
Wow. I am that old.
You're just wise.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Man, yeah, born in 65, so yeah, I'm right there.
Dude, so we're going to get to all that because there's some great things about Santa Cruz and some stories that we'll touch on today. But before we do, inquiring minds want to know about why you, one day, decided to get on your paddleboard, paddle from Santa Cruz to Monterey, which is 25-ish miles, hit land, fill your water bottle, turn around and paddle back with no support boat, no anybody, no nothing. So it's a crazy thing. So tell us, start with talking about Monterey Bay. What led up to you deciding to do something so relatively crazy and rad?
Yeah. You know, that's funny because I really did never have the idea to paddle to Monterey and back. I mean, I paddled down there several times, right? We've done it. The Ghost Riders had their race down there. I mean, it's an accomplishment to do that, right? And the water's cold, it's windy, all sorts of conditions out there. So to be honest, I didn't really think about it, you know, maybe till like the third time I did it. And I was like, wow, you know, I wonder if you could paddle back. That would really be a challenge, right? You know, and I definitely had that in the back of my mind. I've talked to it a few people and said, hey, you know, you ever want to do this? And people really weren't too interested. Someone actually did express interest. I won't say names, but they really wanted
threw it
to
out there.
Yeah. And they wanted, there was a lot of logistics involved. And I really didn't want to get into all that.
Right.
I didn't want to have to deal with someone in a boat. I didn't want to have people meeting with us down in Monterey to fill up our bottles and give us food. I didn't want to deal with it. So I just planned it on my own.
So usually the times I've done it, and you've been part of a few of those times, you plan for weeks. You're like, we're going to do a 25-mile paddle. It's the bay. Let's get boats and people, and it's going to be big. And you're like, all this logistics. You basically, because I remember I got a text from you, I believe, if I remember right. I think it was Friday. You're like, hey, do you want to do the bay tomorrow? And I was like, who just does the bay? Like, rant, you know. And I was like, no, I couldn't. I had to actually go to my in-laws. But what, were you planning to do it? Did you just hit you one that Thursday night or the end of the week and like, I'm going to go do it? Or how'd that go down?
You know, I actually had it in the back of my mind for about a week. And it just so happened, like a week earlier, we had this like earthquake weather, you know, where it was just balmy and there was clouds and no morning fog. And the bay was just glassy. And there was like 4 or 5 days of that where I walked down or rode down every day and I'd look at it and go, oh my God, it's sheet glass all the way to Monterey. And it would be that way all day long. And I'm like, I think I could do this. And so it started like going in my head, like
stuck in there.
Pull this off.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the fifth day of that in a row, I think that was like the Friday. And then I was like, I think I'm going to do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so, I pinged Zach and, ping Johnny, and Johnny was going somewhere, and everybody had was busy, and yeah. I was like, okay, well, you know what? I'm still gonna do it.
Yeah. So, were you nervous at all doing it solo?
You know, I wasn't until I got, you know, parked down at Manor and above Cowles. And,
yeah.
And it was dark, and I was gearing up, and I was like, oh, this isn't quite as fun by yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm loading all my stuff on the board, duct tape and water bottles and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, I was starting to get a little nervous at that time,
yeah.
But I knew once I got in the water, I'd be fine.
Yeah, but, so take us through that. So what time is it? So start, take us through the first leg from Santa Cruz, which as you mentioned, started at Cowles, mm-hmm. and then went straight across to Monterey. And usually when you hit Monterey, you're not sure if you're at like Del Monte Beach or Pacific Grove. It's kind of hard to tell. But that first, what, 5-6 hours, take us through that. What was that like?
So the one thing I didn't account for was all the weight that I was going to have on that board, because I didn't have a support boat. So I was bringing everything with me. So I duct tape all the bottles and food. And I think I had like 6 bottles or something on there. And I had, you know, I'll get into food later, but I had bags of food that I just duct tape on. So I got down the stairs and I put the thing in the water. And when I laid on it, I was literally like, water was almost coming up on the edge.
And it's
like,
a, oh, what, 17 man. Foot prone paddleboard?
17.9 bark. Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Unlimited. Okay. And it's, I like it because I'm not the heaviest guy. You know, I'm around 170, maybe even under that when I'm paddling a lot, but, so it's not the thickest board, and I like that because my arms can get a little deeper,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was kind of sinking when I took off, and I was a little nervous about that. So I started consuming a lot right away to get rid of the weight.
Get rid of it, yeah.
But
and conditions, what was it like to start?
Oh man, it was perfect. It was glassy, just like the days before.
Yeah.
I thought this was gonna be a breeze, and I really did kind of, you know, conserve my energy and took my time as I was paddling out, you know, and I got, you know, well past the lane, and I'm trying to do that straight shot for the end of Monterey out there, Carmel. And, you know, just looking back, and I actually did like stop for a second and look back as the bay lit up, and I could see, you know, Santa Cruz and you know, I'm always looking towards Monterey. So when I look back at Santa Cruz, when I'm a few miles out, I'm like, all right, you know, grab your marker because I'm going to need one on the way back. Whereas I'm used to looking at my marker leaving Santa Cruz, right? Down to Monterey.
Right.
But
when you said get your marker looking back at Santa Cruz, at that time, you knew you were going to turn around and come back?
I was planning.
Okay, that was the plan.
That was the plan.
Double. Okay, got
yeah.
it. Got
so it was in my mind that I was going to plan,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, the water was just so glassy, though. There was no doubt in my mind that it was going to be perfect on the way back. You know, got out to the middle, and it was still glassy as heck. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the fishermen were out there on autopilot getting their stuff ready.
So right.
Had to dodge a few of those boats. But
any massive animals? Because in the Monterey Bay, for folks, there's gigantic blue whales that are just like, you see them, and there's massive, there's sharks, there's, you know, all kinds of other stuff. Did you see anything?
Yeah, you know,
cool out there.
It was in, you know, the whale activity was extremely high that year. I don't know why, but it was like higher than normal. There was a lot of bait out there. They were going nuts,
and it was everywhere.
And it was, yeah. I
so
mean,
cool.
Yeah, the whales were literally like just jumping around me at one point where it was, you know, got me nervous.
Really?
A lot more on the way back. But on the way down, it was pretty, you know, because it was so glassy and they were just coming up slow. Some were kicking around. And
wow.
I mean, I'd never seen a show like that before. It was incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy. And for folks, like, paint the picture. Your base of the bay is like kind of a half moon, sort of speak. And you go from one edge of that half moon to the other from Santa Cruz to Monterey. But halfway through, you look to one side and it's open ocean. You look behind you, you can kind of see Santa Cruz, look forward, you can kind of see Monterey, and you look to inland, and you're kind of in the middle of the ocean. I mean, it's pretty unnerving, especially with those giant animals flying around out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you cross the trench, right?
Yeah.
It gets pretty 10,000
feet
out there.
Deep of, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a different color water, you know?
Yeah.
I love it out there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So you cruise, and so then you hit, what, Pacific Grove, Monterey?
Yeah. My geography is so bad. So yeah, I'm out there, the links, I call it, you know? It's like there's mm-hmm. that golf course out there.
Yeah.
So I hit that, And my plan was to never touch ground. So I cruised out by the golf course and I'm as close as I can. I'm going through kelp beds and all sort of, you know, dodging rocks. And I'm yelling at people up on the golf course. Hey, you got any water up there? Can you feel
You're trying to scrounge water.
So I didn't want to go on land. I was like, you know, hey, I don't want to touch land.
That's cool.
Turn around and
what
go.
What time was this?
This, I think it was probably about, I would say, you know, 11 o'clock maybe.
And so...
Wait, let me see. Yeah, probably about 11 a.m.
So you started at what, 6?
About 6, 6.30. Okay. And I did take my time going down where I actually stopped and, you know, ate some food and, and you know, I was conserving my energy for the paddle back.
So you've done about 5.5-ish hours, which is... give or take 25, 24, 23 miles. It's like kind of hard to tell because you're going to be curving. So now you're looking for water.
Right. So I'm. The guys on the golf course were looking at me like I was some kind of freak. So I kept, you know, I cruised down. I went around a couple coves, saw some guys standing on a rock. I'm like, hey, man, is there a hose up there you can fill up my water bottles
with? Spray me down.
He's like, oh, man. And he's I'm not sure of the nationality. I could barely understand him, but that wasn't successful. So finally I was like, all right, whatever. I'm going down to Lover's Point and I'll go hit up the snack shop. And hopefully it's open because every time I've been down there, maybe it's weekday
Lover's Point. Cannery Row, Lover's Point. Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful spot, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it is. It's like a little sanctuary when you paddle into it. So I made it down there and... came pulling in and it was an insane day, just freaking sunny, beautiful. And I swim in with, or I paddle in right when there's like a group of some swim club going out and they're looking at me like, you know, they kind of knew something weird was going on, right? I got duct tape all over my board and all this
stuff. What's this guy doing?
Like, whoa, did you just paddle from Santa Cruz?
I'm
like,
I knew it.
I'm like, yeah, I did. And they're like, wow, congratulations. And I'm like, oh, cool, you know. So I wasn't really like telling, I'm going to turn around and go back to Santa Cruz. So they went out, did their swim. And then I ran up and the lady at the shack, she saw me coming up. She kind of knew something was up. And I told her and I go, I think I'm going to try to paddle back. And so she filled up my water and, you know, asked if I needed any food. Really? Yeah, she was really cool.
Wow.
And she was like, you need anything, man? And I'm like, no, I think I got it. I got a bunch of stuff down there that'll be good in my stomach, so I'll pull it off. So
now at that time, so you had a chance to like call it. Like you could call your wife, your kids, or your friends, say, I'm not gonna do it. Did that cross your mind when you were standing there?
Because when I went back down and I got everything ready, I mixed up my drinks with the powder and all that stuff and put it back on, had some duct tape in a bag, I was ready to go.
Wow. You were like MacGyver. You're like Survival Man. You had Battle Survivor Man.
Oh yeah, I had so much stuff that I didn't even open up. You know, it was like extra weight I didn't even need. So so I put that thing. I got everything all duct tape up, and I was standing there, and I look out, and I'm like, oh man. I go, is that White Chop? You know, White Cap's coming at me.
Yeah.
And I could see it out, and I go, please be like a school. Frickin' fish or something. And sure enough, it was just like this wind coming towards me. And I'm like, oh no, it was just out of the blue. Like, I'm like, well, maybe it's been this way all week, you know, whatever. I'm going to do it. And I've been surfing up the coast, you know, that week and it'd been way glassy up there. So I'm like, okay, outside the bay, further I go,
I'll be fine.
You know, I'll be glassy. So I call up Karina. I'm like, hey, I'm going, I'm going to shoot for it. It's windy, whatever. I think I can do it. So I go back out to the links again, to the point, and then I did like a big bow outwards, you know, kind of like I was going to the M2, right?
Yeah. The big buoy in the middle of the bay.
Right. So I started heading in that direction, and I was able to kind of get around it, and it was glassy for a little while. I was stoked. I was like, right on, you know, I'll just stay outside. And then sure enough, it starts hitting me again, and I'm like, oh, man. And then it like kicked in where it was, it was nailing me. Yeah, it was like, I was getting worked.
Was it like side wind? Where was the wind in context of where you were paddling? So now you're paddling kind of north back to Santa Cruz. How was the wind hitting you?
It was hitting me like right in the shoulder, like right shoulder, neck, face.
Slapping.
Yeah, so I just turned my cap around, put the bill down, and I was staring towards like the stacks at Moss Landing, you know, and it was just nailing me. And then It just didn't, it got worse and worse. And
so you're mid-bay, you've paddled 25, you've turned around, let's call it 25, you've got another, whatever, 12, maybe more because you've bowed out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not a straight shot, no. So maybe another 12, 13, 14. So now you're at almost 40.
Yeah.
And you're getting hammered by the wind. And are you just like, oh, I got this, this is fun, I'm singing to myself, like, what, the mental part of this, like, what's happening in your head at this point?
So, you know, at this point, I was doing pretty good. I was like, I had a ton of energy. I was really? Like, yeah, you know, I was kind of like battling it. I had, you know, killer playlist going.
Yeah.
I was,
oh, you know, good music, AC,
yeah,
tunes.
Metallica, yeah. AC/DC, I was nailing it. So I was motivated. And yeah, man, it started pushing me, and I wasn't getting any closer to my destination. You know, visually, I was,
you're like,
it started growing on me. I was getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And I could kind of see then that I was kind of getting pushed into the bay by the wind. So I was no longer outside. I was coming inside, and I could kind of see it. Like, my markers were definitely coming to my left shoulder quite a bit.
Wow.
So I was getting frustrated.
So you knew you were going to get pushed into the sort of center of the bay, which meant that as you got closer to Santa Cruz and the other opposite shore, you'd have to kind of work back up against the wind to get back to where you were.
Wow. Exactly. Yeah. And I knew that was coming too, right?
So you knew it.
Yeah.
Were you staying mentally like, okay, I got this? And or were you starting to tank? Like, what was that like?
I was still doing pretty good. And then disaster strikes my little iPod.
Oh no, the music went out.
The battery died.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh my God. I didn't even charge the thing the night before. I mean, I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going.
And man, when the music died.
The whole thing changed.
Yeah. It got really ugly then.
Yeah. Because then you had to think and like not just zone out and just like and get lost in some music and forget about everything and just
go. Exactly, right? Because you're singing out there, and I mean, totally. You know, I can sing out there, not here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it was, that was a big bummer.
Jeez. I remember watching, so I remember coming back, as I said, I went to my in-laws, we're driving home, and Karina, Mike's wonderful wife, was sending over text screenshots of her phone that showed Mike's Find My iPhone. That was like the tracking Mike in the bay thing, and she was sending it out to, you know, a bunch of us, and I remember watching going, oh, he's here and he's there. And I remember thinking, as you were coming to that sort of dead zone, the middle of the Monterey Bay, it's kind of like this cellular dead zone where there's, and it's also where this really strong wind is.
Yeah,
it's like this, and it's not even on a boat, it's gnarly right there. It's just in the afternoon. I remember watching you disappear. The next text she sent, she's like, yeah, I don't know where Mike is. I remember before you were about there, and I just thinking, oh man, what's it like out there after doing that, you know? So you get through that point, and you remember you popped back up on the Find My iPhone thing. When did you, so you're a couple hours out maybe, like, take us through like the end of that paddle. You know, it's what, how late is it now?
So, you know, before I get to the end, I was stuck over the trench for like 2 hours where I wasn't moving. Because, you know, all the upwelling in that trench from the wind, that was the worst. And that was when, like, that's when I was fighting with myself.
Right.
I was having arguments. I was,
oh yeah.
If someone came up on me, they would have thought I was crazy.
Yeah. You're just digging deep.
Oh yeah. It was heavy. And, you know, I was, it wasn't
That's
pretty.
That's a tough one.
And then I had, you know, it was, and it was also like a couple years after, you know, maybe a year after I had lost my brother and I lost my sister a couple years then. So it was like all this weird, like anger was coming out, you know?
Yeah.
That was bizarre. Yeah. And I was fighting with myself.
Yeah.
So I got a little weird.
So did you consider at that point when you're sitting there not moving at all, just turning and just letting the bump or wind take you into like Moss Landing halfway across the bay and just freaking calling somebody to pick you up, that crossed your mind at all?
That, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I was yelling at the Moss Landing stacks because they weren't moving.
Right.
And then I was like, oh man, I could easily turn around and downwind,
just, boom, be there,
get picked up at the whole enchilada. Yeah. I'd be
have a margarita
man.
While you're waiting.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Because why? You're just like, I'm doing this.
I got to do it. It was like, I could see the dream in at that point, that big white blob.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't give up then. I would have never let myself
It was funny because still you hadn't really popped up on the Find My iPhone alerts that Karina was sending out. And so people were getting worried. I remember being like kind of being concerned because you already paddled 40 plus miles and you're in that that gnarly wind zone. And people were like, where's Mike? We're not sure. And I remember then Zach Wormhout got on his boat with Matt Hamill to go out there and just try to scan. Were you hurt? Were you like, okay? Like nobody knew because you're no life vest. You're on a prone paddleboard, no boat. It's windy. It's now like 4:30-ish p.m. You know, so yeah. Zach and Matt went out there. So how'd that last sort of, how did this whole thing finish?
That was so freaking funny. I swear that was like, it was hilarious. Like I saw this boat like jamming back and forth and I'm all, what's wrong with this
guy? What's this guy doing?
Yeah, and it was just a little dot. And then, you know, I kept paddling and I saw it coming back again. I'm all, what could they be doing? They're not fishing, trolling. These guys are freaking crazy. And then all of a sudden I hear the horn honking and I see these guys like jamming by with beers in their hands. And they're like, they come screaming by me and do like a power slide. And
No way.
And they were, that was like such a beautiful picture.
How
so
good
happy.
Did you feel? Yeah. I mean, that was
I needed that. I was so sore, man. I was like my chest. I couldn't knee paddle anymore. I was definitely my energy level was shot.
Felt so good.
Yeah.
And then did Matt paddle back with you? Did he have a board too?
No,
They boated next to you and just
they just
hyped you up.
Yeah, they cheered me on. It was freaking great.
Wow.
And I mean they were basically just telling jokes and getting me laughing.
Right.
Because they could see I was like, they're all, get on your knees and we'll take a picture. Like, you know, I could barely do it.
Yeah.
You know, it was hilarious. Yeah.
So you made it back. You landed at Cal. So how many hours total was that?
God, it was nearly like 12 hours. It was a crazy amount of time.
Did you GPS it in terms of total mileage?
I did. I GPS'd it on an old Garmin. And it's funny, I had the thing visible, but I didn't have my reading glasses, so I couldn't read it.
It's kind of blurry.
No good. Yeah, I'm like, what is that? Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because I guess I turned the thing on in my driveway.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was on my board on top of the car. So it was like, it read 60 miles. I know I didn't paddle 60 miles, but I know I paddled more than 50.
Yeah.
At least I don't believe it.
A mile away.
Yeah.
Mile
so
and
I'm
half,
a mile.
Maybe.
Yeah. A mile and a half. Yeah. At the most, a mile and a half. But
wow. So you call it 55 plus.
Yeah. I said 50. I didn't want people questioning my mileage or whatever.
Yeah. But still, a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot.
Gnarly.
So I did. Yeah. I went out and then I did a big bow back in. So it definitely was not a straight line.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. What a cool story, too. Because I mean, I've known you forever and I was pretty much almost. I was here listening to you and, you know, texting you beforehand, but never heard that full story. But what also strikes me is for you to even consider doing that, you're in good shape. You were paddling. You were like, nobody does something like that if you're not confident you're going to pull it off, right? So now move from that to just general paddling. I mean, at that time, what year was that, do you think?
Wow, when was that? That was 2016, maybe? Holy cow, I forget.
Yeah. So call it 2016-ish. Yeah. But at that time, you were also not just paddling crazy distances, but the competitive paddling thing. You were paddling hard. You were ripping races and everything. So talk about that time when, you know, what paddleboarding was to you and what you were doing and just with races and just all kinds of anything.
Yeah, paddling. You know, I mean, paddling is definitely one of my passions. I mean, surfing, definitely number one.
Yep.
Paddling, number two, love it. And, you know, it's great to be able to get out by yourself and just paddle far out to sea. You know, I mean, I love just heading out and being alone. Like, it's pretty neat. It's a nice little break, especially, you know, like I was commuting until last year, right? And like that freaking gauntlet, it's so nice to get out there and just be alone.
Right, the meditative aspect of it.
Yeah, but like, you know, and racing, I've never been like a hugely competitive guy, but, you know, prone paddling and and that whole race community, it's a great group of people, right? I mean, you go out, you have a race. I mean, people aren't, you know, crying about their score or their time. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, that guy won, rad, you know, yeah. Like, all right. And then everybody has, you know, beers afterwards.
Yeah, and that stuff. Guy was last, rad. Like, yeah. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah. No one cares. You know, yeah. It's like, you know, as long as you go out and give it your all, like, we're all stoked.
Yeah.
You know,
but you were, I mean, you still are incredibly strong, but I mean, you battled guys half your age, like, for like podium finishes. I mean, what's, and that takes some competitive spirit, because I remember, even now today when I'm paddling in a race, I almost don't like to get next to somebody. So I'm like, great, now I got to try to beat this guy. I'm going to feel lame if he's beating me. I just like being solo. But you would battle guys, you know? And so where'd that kind of competitive, is it just more for fun, just to like a personal challenge?
Yeah.
To keep up or to, you know, is that?
You know, I mean, sure, it would be awesome to win like, you know, like a Jay or, you know, one of those big races against like the top guys, you know? But it's always been a personal challenge for me.
Just like
for the first few years I was doing the J, I always look forward to seeing what my time was.
Yeah.
And I was always racing against my time the previous year. And then they changed the course, and then that kind of messed up all my
over. Man. Yeah.
But you know, and then that whole, you know, kind of paddling love and passion and all of us getting together, that, you know, kind of led to us, you know, building or not building, but organizing the Ghost Rider Waterman Club and you know, getting the downwinder from Davenport, right? I mean, that has been incredible.
So talk about that. So in Santa Cruz, where we are, and just kind of in the general Northern California area, you know, there's not a ton of paddleboard races. And you mentioned the J race, which is a J Moriarty Memorial paddleboard race, which is super legendary. Mm-hmm. And then you also mentioned the Davenport Downwinder and Ghost Rider's Wildman's Club, which I am part of with you. So talk about that for a minute. How does Ghost having a paddle club, which is kind of a glorified social drinking club, how does that kind of keep you, you know, either A, get you into paddling? Were you paddling before you joined Ghost Riders? You're one of the founding guys. And then how does being part of a paddle club kind of continue to help you, you know, maintain your stoke and interest in the whole thing?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really quite sure how the whole club came together, but it was fun, you know, like, you know, we've never been about making money. We're definitely grassroots, small, as you know. I mean, we all had big ideas, and I don't know if any of those ever,
yeah,
you know, we implemented any of those. But in a way, it's great, right? We still keep our Santa Cruz Downwind Riders Cup, aka the Davenport Downwinder.
Yep.
Pretty, I wouldn't say low key, but we're trying to keep it affordable. You know, we don't want to bring too big a names in. Then we lose control of it. So we're trying to keep it pretty low key, right? I mean, I compare it, you know, kind of like the Malibu Downwinder. Those guys are keeping it affordable. It's right. Like,
mellow.
You know, hey, you know, and I think, you know, both of our, those type of races, you don't really, personally, I don't care what my time is. I mean, I've been in races where they DNF'd me, but I was really like, you know, fourth or fifth or something. And I'm not going to go cry about it. It's like, dude, I had a great time, man.
Right.
I paddled with you guys. I had a beer. You had a barbecue. This is freaking rad. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that is always, you know, great. So
yeah.
It's really not about the time.
So for the Davenport Downwinder put on by Ghost Riders, how'd that come to be? I mean, was that like 10 guys at first that just, let's all get together and paddle, and then suddenly it's like, hey, let's make a event where we invite people, and now whatever, 10, 12 years later, it's kind of a legit race that people come from around the world in some cases.
I mean, you know, we played around with a race course for quite a while. I think we were trying to make 4 mile work, you know, a 4 mile downwinder, and then, you know, people suggested, hey, let's do like a
4 mile,
you know, let's do Waddell down, and it was like, whoa, that's pretty gnarly. I don't know if we can do that, but I think we settled on a perfect one, right? Davenport to Santa Cruz, which that time of the year we rarely have a day that isn't great.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, what time of year is that? So talk about that time of year and what's going on in the water.
Yeah. So it's what we're talking, late spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, late spring, May, right? It's still considered spring, but you know, it's kind of our summer kicking in, right? So we got our northwest winds. We have fog in the morning. That clears, and that's clearing because our northwest winds are blowing. Mm-hmm. So it's blowing a perfect direction for a downwinder from Davenport to Santa Cruz. And it seems like it's always just like ready to howl. And then as you get into the race, it's like, you know, we're bombing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get closer to town and it almost seems to pick up by NBs, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. The coast bends a little bit and lines up exactly with the wind. You get that push.
Yeah.
Yeah. So of all the races over the past, let me pull back. When did you first start paddling? And then when did you first start kind of competing in races?
You know, I was paddling just like on a flat surfboard, right? Like a rescue board. And I think I just needed exercise because my kids were so little at that time and I was commuting and I couldn't surf that much because my windows were disappearing and I didn't have time to go up the coast. And I was like, I got to get some activity and I want to do it in the water, right? I was doing the gym. It's just, I just can't do it. You know, I tried. I'm not a gym guy. Yeah. So I got to have fun. So anyways, I saw someone, I don't know who it was, like way outside on a paddleboard. I was like, I got to get one of those. So I finally found a used one for pretty cheap, an unlimited, grabbed it, bought it off of Craigslist, whatever, and just started doing it by myself. And then, you know, some of the other guys, Zach and
randomly
John and you, and we all, you know, slowly started paddling together, which was great.
When did you first get your board, your first paddleboard? When was that, do you think?
Wow, I mean, it was probably like 2000, I would say early 2000s, maybe 2002 or 2004, because I did the Molokai in 2009, and that was like, I remember I was paddling for a couple of years going, that's my target. Getting, you know, I want to get that.
Yeah. So Molokai. So if I'm right, didn't you do that race and not put sunscreen on your back?
Oh man, right? Did I show you that picture?
No, you just told me, I think.
Oh man, I did.
How was that crispy back? What was that like, man, after that race?
I was so nervous in the morning. Like, there's all the logistics stuff. There's so much to think about, right? And I woke up in the morning, and I actually remember, like, putting lotion on other people, but I forgot about mine, you know? And I had the tank top.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh man, I got to the end. I didn't even think about it. And like after the end, like someone looked at me and they went, "Whoa, man, you don't look too good on your back."
Really?
And it peeled off like newspaper. I had never had a
full
burn like that.
Full sheets of skin coming off.
And I take the sun good, right? Like I take it pretty good.
You do tan well.
Oh man, and that just.
Oh, that's burly.
It was ugly. In fact, I'll dig that picture up.
I want to see it. Yeah, we'll put a link to it on the podcast. Did your feet get burned too on the bottoms?
The back of my legs got it pretty good. You know what? I think I may have put lotion on the back of my legs. I think I saved those. But they got burnt, but not too bad.
Yeah.
The newspaper.
So in terms of paddling then, what about other races outside of, or just general paddling? Like, have you ever traveled somewhere? I know you did Molokai, but like Southern California or other places to go paddle? Have you done races down there?
Yeah, you know, the Malibu, and then I did one in Santa Barbara years ago. Mm-hmm. But besides that, those are really the only two I've really done south. Yep. But I did do the Nepali Coast paddle race, which is a few weeks after, I think a couple weeks after the Molokai, or maybe a week.
Right.
But man,
it's Maui.
This is on Kauai.
Kauai, Nepali. Right.
And, it's from tunnels down to
That's right.
Oh geez, south end of Nepali down there. But man, it is a really beautiful paddle. I mean, our Davenport downwinder is beautiful. This is another beautiful scenic. I mean, and the wind was, you know, I scored the year I was there. It was a nuking wind, and loved it. Those guys put on a great race. So,
oh man,
if you have a chance, I'd recommend doing that.
Yeah, no, I've always heard that's like the most beautiful coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, total bucket list. So, switching gears, as we started talking about in the beginning, you born and raised in Santa Cruz, a guy who grew up, cut your teeth surfing at Steamer Lane. As I think everybody who's listened to this will know what Steamer Lane is. It doesn't kind of matter where you're at in the world. Steamer Lane is one of those iconic locations of surfing. What I'm always personally fascinated by is this, that period of time and like the transition of surfing from just a fringe sport to like a legit commercialized day glow like thing, right? And Santa Cruz was one of those epicenters of that sort of transformation, especially in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
I was a kid, wee lad, kind of watching it from the outside. But what I'd like, Mike, tell us, like, you were in the middle of it, man. So you were a fixture. You were one of the guys at the land, and there was many. But take us through, like, what was Santa Cruz surfing, and specifically at the lane, where there's a handful of pecking order guys, right? What was that like? See, you know, from the early 80s. I mean, it's a big, broad question. Especially with the evolution of surfing from, you know, the boards and the movers and everything. Well, I don't know, man. Start wherever you want with that one.
I have to say, I think I was like in the last hurrah generation, man. It was. I think I scored in the generation that I grew up in.
Really?
Especially around here. Like, I mean, my first board was like, it was a single fin Hout that I got from my brother. And it was just a crazy...
Shortboard?
Yeah, shortboard, bat tail, like funky, single fin, thick. Funky thing.
Yeah.
Thick, but kind of narrow, you know? It was a trippy board. But yeah, so it was, I grew up when, you know, when I really got into it. I mean, as a younger kid, you know, I was surfing cowls, second grade type of stuff.
Yeah, for
boards
sure.
From Autos down there by POB.
But
yeah, no. So when I first started surfing seriously, like Mission Hill to Santa Cruz High, you know, I was a Grom, and it was single fins, and then the twin fin was just came out, and that was like revolutionary, you know.
Really?
Like Vince Collier and so Richard Schmidt and those guys.
The guys. So talk about that for a second. So there's these, like, every break, and, you know, has like the guys in all these different eras. And at that time, it was Vince Collier, Richard Schmidt,
Joe Thomas.
Yeah. Showed up with twin fins, and everybody's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And they were ripping.
Yeah.
You're just watching this, and then you just followed suit.
Yeah. You know, Rick Newey, all those guys. It was rad. Jeff Scott, he was, shaped my boards early on. But yeah, it was awesome. It was definitely intimidating being a kid at that time, especially for me, because, you know, I was kind of a respectful kid, so I was kind of quiet.
Right.
But, you know, you're out with these guys, and
they
wouldn't cut you any slack.
Boisterous.
Yeah, they wouldn't cut you any slack at all. You know, you were definitely, you knew where you were positioned. You were not paddling out to where the boys were. You're going to earn your way out there for sure.
So what happens if you would? Like, if somebody jumps out and paddles out, a Grom or even an adult at that time, where I would say localism was like a very prevalent thing, not just Santa Cruz, but kind of everywhere, where people protecting their ways because surfing was now becoming popular, more people. So what would happen if you tried to sort of go outside your boundaries?
You know, I mean, the people who got their punishment really deserved it,
right?
Like, they just didn't understand how it works, and I don't mean to say, like, you know, anybody deserves that, but really it's you, like, learn it if you've grown up at a local spot, right? And
just,
I think some people just, they didn't have that spot where they grew up at, and they didn't understand the hierarchy, how it works. So if you come out and post up,
right,
oh my god, that didn't work. Like, even if you just posted up back then, it was like you're immediately escorted out.
You're told, hey, you need
Oh, the ridicule started right away.
Immediately.
Heckles, And if you weren't embarrassed enough to paddle in on your own, you were going to get stuffed. And, you know, then, you know, if you even tried to make the wave when you got stuffed, you're in trouble then. And it depends who was out, obviously, at the time, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, respect was a big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, that part. Saw some ugly scenes, but you know, as a kid, you learned, right? Like, I mean, I've learned from those guys on how to respect lineups, and every place I've ever gone, I can feel it out, and I've never
sense it. Yeah,
I never put myself in the position to get a hard time from locals. I can tell,
you
can
it.
Wait, I can kind of figure it out, you know.
Yeah. So twin fins, your single fins, all of a sudden the heavies, the local older guys are pulling up with twin fins, everybody's moving to those boards, and then there's Dagla wetsuits. So, like, mid-80s-ish, what's it like? I mean, now you got, like, legit guys, like, you have, like, the next generation of, like, the Barneys and the Flea, Roscoe's, other guys. So, all of a sudden, it's a different kind of level of surfing, a totally different world of surfing.
Yeah.
And Santa Cruz was like kind of the sort of center of it all. And kind all of right, Wayne yeah. was kind of the center of the center. So what was that like seeing that, I mean, incredible progression of surfing that was happening
yeah.
in your backyard where you surfed?
Right. I mean, I was kind of in that generation where it was, you know, the older guys, Vince and then like Rufo and Spenny, and those guys were kind of a little bit older than us. And then there yeah. was me and maybe like a couple other guys, Matt Mitchell and those guys. And we were kind of, I kind of call us like the guys lost in the middle. Like right. there wasn't a whole lot yeah. of us, you know?
Right.
And then behind us all came like guys. Barney Darrell and all those guys.
Totally different
yeah.
level of.
Yeah. Yeah. And like another level of right. like, holy cow, what the hell are these guys doing?
Yeah.
And then like Kevin Reed also, I mean, he used to yeah. surf the lane all the time. You know, he was just destroying it, doing yeah. stuff that you were like, what the hell right. is that?
Right.
But it was crazy. But you know, another thing about like the lane at that time, no parking lots. That's my favorite thing about the lane. It was all dirt parking lots. Lighthouse Field was just one big playground. It was so cool.
Wow.
Man, we used to have motorcycle tracks out there yeah. that, you know, people didn't really know about. We had bike tracks, mushroom tree. I mean, it was yeah. like, it was like a playground.
Playground.
And we owned it, you know, it was like, we kept it up. Everybody was good. And, you know, it was awesome back then.
Wow.
And just then the heydays.
So with the progression of just surfing in general, what was that like? I mean, when you had like the old school power surfing, I always like, I love watching you surf because I mean, it's kind of a dying breed of surfing with that kind of heavy back foot, rail is power surfing, you know? Now, and it progressed pretty quickly to what I would kind of call, not getting technical because I'm not, but like a lighter back foot where the fins are sliding around and just that, it's a different kind of surfing, you know? How was it like watching or just being part of seeing like, some there's errors and like, you know, Jason Collins, the first 360,
man, so cool,
like
right?
at the lane right yeah. there happening. Like you were, I mean, front and center to all of that. Like, what were you just like, whoa, what are these guys doing? What are they doing out of the, I mean, how was that seeing all that that was happening?
Yeah.
Right there.
It was amazing. You know, and I have to take it back to Kevin Reed. Like I saw that guy do an error when I was a little kid and I didn't even know what to call it. I was
really?
Like, what the heck is that? Like, I was up at 4 Mile watching him, like, pop an air, and he
before
pulled it. And
it
I
was
like,
the thing.
Whoa! Like, everybody's looking at him like, what the hell is that? But, wow. you know, but these guys, you know, like Jason and Daryl and all those yeah. guys and Barney, I mean, they took it to a whole nother level. Nate Acker, all those guys were,
right.
like, killing it.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to watch. I mean, they were those guys were so rad. I mean, they were just, like,
yeah.
had so much energy. And, me and my club foot, I call it. I'm not popping any airs. I delay them every board I own, you know, so I have to get the big tail patch because of my freaking boot foot.
So did you ever get sucked up to Mavericks when all that stuff was just starting to go down back in the day?
You know, I Zach pulled me up there a few times. I'll call it peer pressure.
Yeah.
You know, and I went up there on like kind of a mediocre day, you know, I wouldn't call it huge yeah. by any means. Got to taste it. And that day was like, you know, a nice introduction, right? But I knew that wasn't Mavs. And then I went up there, God, what day was that? Oh my God, it was like Thanksgiving or something. It was some huge day, like, I don't know, 5 years ago or something. And It was insane. I right away just said, you know what? After yeah. trying to paddle into a few, and there was only like 5 guys that got waves that day. It was so big. And I was like, I don't need this. This yeah. is crazy. I can't even see the bottom. So
really paddling in, you look
oh,
down.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I paddle in. I'm like, whoa, that's a big hole, man. It's like, yeah.
So, a hole, exactly what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I like big waves, but that's I'll leave it to those guys. That's
yeah, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Gee. So going forward, so... You paddled the Monterey Bay twice. It's a 55-ish miles. Grew up surfing. I mean, all this cool stuff. So what's kind of next? Like staying healthy, doing new ocean sports? Like kind of what's on the lineup for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm still motivated on paddling. Love surfing. As you can tell, I'm still not supposed to talk about my injuries. But I will be back in the water shortly. I can't wait because I'm going freaking crazy. But
yeah.
My foot's almost there. I think I got about another month maybe
yeah.
to shortboard. Cool. But I'll be longboarding soon. But no, I think I'm going to continue surfing like crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, paddling. I would like to say, I always have this weird idea that I want to be dropped off in the middle of the bay and see if I can swim back.
Whoa.
I know, I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but like I wonder if I can pull it off, and I think I think I could do it.
That is one of those things, like, could I do it?
Could I do that? Like, I would like to try.
Call it 12-ish miles.
Yeah, that, you know, and it's like, you know, maybe when they got, you know, a really handy phone on your, you know, on your watch band or something that you could swim with, you know. I don't know when that's going to be, but I don't want to carry a bunch of stuff, right? I don't want a boat
with me. That's the thing, man. You don't have your big paddle board to put all your sandwiches in water and duct tape and all your other stuff.
No, I don't know. That's kind of a crazy one. That's probably something I'll never, you know. But I it would be kind of neat to try something like that. Neat. Well, can I pull it off?
Well, that's what you got you paddling across the bay back is, can I do this? And then you did it.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
But you know what, though? I mean, I do have to say, like, I just love being in the water, and whether it's body surfing at Rock Bowl, which we always called Mini Bowl and Finger Bowl, at beach or whatever, you know, it's like, I just want to be in the ocean.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing. I've also, not just your surfing and just strength paddling, but just your commitment to, like, the name of this whole thing is your ocean life. It's like, it's funny, and more I think about it is we have your personal life and your work life and all that, then it's like your ocean life, but actually it's all kind of one and the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is, being in the ocean is part of just your life in general,
right?
You know? But anyways, you've always been good. And for folks, one thing's cool about Mike is, working in high tech over in Silicon Valley, comes home, gets right in the water. Doesn't matter if it's, if there's surf, we'll surf. If there's not surf, a paddle, or maybe swim, whatever. That's one thing that's always been, I've always admired about you, is just like, that's your release. That's your level setting.
In fact, my wife won't even let me come in the house until I decommute.
Like, go.
Go decommute yourself in the ocean.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, Mike, enjoyed having you on. I appreciate your time. These are great stories. Thank you so much for being here today, man.
Yeah, thanks, Josh, for having me, man. This is fun.
Cool. All right, we'll have to do it again. Next time you do the bay, maybe you do it there back, and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Talk
more. Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast episode. If you liked what you heard, please give us a good rating in your podcast library. We really appreciate it. You can also find images and videos from our guests on the thisoceanlife.tv Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook pages. Now get out there and enjoy your ocean life.